Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Michael Harrison is here, too, because he's a good friend of ours and a good friend of yours, maybe more than you know. He's publisher and editor of Talkers Magazine and does a wonderful job with that premier publication of the talk radio industry, and he's our good friend. Michael Harrison, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you back, as always. Michael, I wanted to talk a little bit about the business of talk radio, and the first issue has got to be, which is really at the essence of talk radio, and that's the whole FCC situation that's going on right now with regard to, especially with regard to what the FCC is doing with the Howard Stern show. Talk to us a little bit about what's
going
on.
There's no question that the FCC is on a mission. It's on a rampage, if you will, to clean the airwaves of indecency. And they have two things going. First of all, they're handing out fines left and right to broadcasters. Huge fines, yeah. Record-setting fines, specifically targeting Howard Stern, the notorious so-called shock jock. And they have bills that are before Congress to significantly increase their power to do this and to raise the fines substantially, which eventually will be put on the president's desk. This has been responded to by the broadcast industry, particularly talk radio, with complete compliance. There's very little that the huge corporations that run talk radio, run all radio, but the consolidated corporate giants that are the result of the Telecommunications Act in the late 90s that allowed for consolidation, They can't do much about this. They can't resist this or fight this on First Amendment grounds for the most part, because the FCC and the government basically have these companies over a barrel.
How do they have them over a barrel, Mike?
Well, they can fine them. They can take away their licenses.
Right.
They can put them out of business.
Yeah. Okay.
For the people listening to this program, many who are entrepreneurs, if you own a little store or you own a business, and the government has complete and total power to put you out of business based upon either fining you more than you can pay, or taking away your license to do business for reasons, in this case, indecency, that are subject to innuendo.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like the nature of your signage. We're going to take away your license. We don't like your advertising. We're going to take away
your... Michael, the truth is, in a nuanced way, a lot of people listening have actually run into that with the IRS and with OSHA and with EEOC, and they actually have had those kinds of things happen. So my point is the folks listening, many of them are a lot more tuned in to this FCC situation than you might think. They may not know about all the details, but they sure know about the way some of these corporations are feeling, and certainly the way Howard Stern is feeling. And so the irony is they may not like what Mr. Stern says, but they're brothers and sisters with him in terms of being put upon by the government.
Well, yes, and those who don't realize that that's the case are missing the point. There are a lot of people who say it's about time they cleaned up the airwaves. These, everything from Janet Jackson's exposed breast to Howard Stern's foul mouth, these are ruining the country, and it's the government's job to clean it up. That sounds well and good, but maybe it's not the government's job in the year 2004 to clean these things up. Maybe it's the job of parents. Maybe it's the job of advertisers. Maybe it's the job of the churches, the synagogues, the community leaders. Maybe it's the job of people... consumers, people in business, but the fact of the matter is, Jim, that people like this stuff, and this is the element of the conversation that just seems to get lost. The very stockholders who demand that the major corporations be competitive so they could make a profit are the same people, many of whom are complaining about the programming.
Right.
It's almost as if we psychologically in this country have a disconnect between whom we would like to pretend we are and who we really are.
Right.
And I think it comes down to each person cleaning up their own backyard. But when you have politicians and bureaucrats telling radio what is decent and what is indecent, you're in big trouble, because the whole idea of nuanced conversation and decency and indecency and subject matter is so subjective, especially in the year 2004, when each generation has its own interpretation of what words mean, but, and each ethnicity has a different point of view on that.
But Michael, let me represent the people who, let's say, have young children, and they have a brand new 16-year-old with a brand new license, who's now able to drive the 12-year-old sister and the 9-year-old brother to school in the morning. And mm-hmm. and the thing about Mr. Stern is his radio show is drive time in many cities, not as many as he was on a month ago, but it was still in some cities. And the content of his show is pretty strong. It's pretty.
That's parenting. If then you have to raise your kids to be responsible.
So
you have to raise,
so they
you have
would
to
turn
raise
them
your,
off. Yeah.
You have to raise your 16-year-old not to expose the 9-year-old to that. I mean, suppose the 16-year-old took the 9-year-old to the museum where there are naked pictures and paintings yeah. and discussed them in a prurient way.
So your attitude is that free speech is free speech, whether it's
yes.
Whether it's drive time or midnight.
Right. My attitude also is that it's not 1954 any longer. It's 2004. And talk radio and television, broadcast radio and television, do not operate in the same kind of vacuum that they did back in the 50s and 60s when all electronic media came through that box. There weren't that many channels. You had families listening, and it was a different culture. Mm-hmm. But today, you think that you could protect that 9-year-old today by putting Howard Stern out of business from hearing dirty words? Mm-hmm. That 9-year-old already knows the dirty words. What you're doing is you're infringing upon the First Amendment to protect a kid from something that the kid already is exposed to. Look at the billboards. Look at the television ads.
Look at primetime television. I mean, there are words being used and images being shown on primetime broadcast television today that you could have gotten 20 to life for broadcasting 30 years ago.
Right. And now. But the other point of all this is that primetime television and drive time radio operate on the same boxes, the television set, the radio set, mm-hmm. the radio itself, the physical box, the satellite radio that's unregulated, internet streaming is unregulated, HBO, all of these different cable operations.
Stand by, so, Michael. I got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to try to get Michael to be a little more specific about how he really feels about these things after these messages. And one of the things I'm going to ask him about is, what about this new liberal talk network? We're going to ask him about that, and that's coming up after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. It's a little bit of heaven there for small business owners. Entrepreneurial nirvana. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email. I think you'll like it. And if you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. So we make sure that's the case. Michael Harrison is our guest and our good friend. He's the publisher and editor of Talkers Magazine, the talk radio industry's premier trade publication. And Michael, I wanted to, and by the way, thank you for taking a few minutes to spend some time with us and to talk to us about this industry. And I just to wrap up on this FCC thing, whether I agree with Howard Stern, whether I like his programming or not, whether I think any of his profanity and all the other stuff that he has on his show has any value or not in our society, I've got to separate that, especially doing what I do. And mm-hmm. as an American, I've got to separate that from the First Amendment issues, don't I?
Yeah, you really do. As a broadcaster, you do. And I want people to understand that I'm not against government regulation. Government should regulate some industries when it comes to public safety, when it comes to public health. And as far as the broadcast industry is concerned, they should regulate so people don't pirate broadcast and put other stations out of business. They should regulate so that people don't go on the air and give false information that could cause danger and damage. There are many things that need to be regulated, but when you get into nuanced speech, artistic creativity, and political opinion, which I think are related, That's the First Amendment, and that isn't the government's job. Just like the government shouldn't come into a restaurant owner and say, your food tastes lousy, we're going to fine you.
Right.
If your food is unhealthy, but in terms of opinion and things of that nature, subjective determination, that's an infringement on our minds, and we don't need the government to protect our minds. We need it to protect our bodies, and that's a big difference.
Well said, Michael. I want to switch horses just a minute. Let's talk about another regulator, really maybe the greatest regulator of all time, and that's the consumer. How's the consumer going to regulate this new liberal talk radio network?
The new one that's getting so much press. The consumer will listen to it and it'll become successful. The consumer will not listen to it and it'll fail, just like any other business.
You can't straddle the fence on us, Michael. We need an opinion out of you.
Well, my opinion is it's probably going to fail because it's a business and it's up against a lot of obstacles, as all businesses are. It's a business based upon backing as opposed to earnings. Let's talk business. The network has been set up by Democratic Party zealots who believe that it's important to counterbalance the conservative power on talk radio. So it's got lots and lots of money. It's bought its way onto stations. Mm-hmm. It's buying its advertising, and it's getting a tremendous amount of support from the press that finds it to be an interesting story. But it will not succeed unless it's able to get enough listeners so that it can sell advertising and go from the critical stage of raising money to earning money. And this is something that I've noticed in business all through the 90s. A lot of the reasons many businesses went under is they had no plan for earning money.
That's right.
They only had plans for raising money.
Back in the late 90s, profit was almost a four-letter word, wasn't it?
Exactly. And this is the hurdle that I see these folks having a lot of trouble surmounting. And I find this to be one of the crucial keys to judging whether people should invest in something or believe in something, is what are its earning capacities? What's its earning potential? We should never lose sight of that, and we have lost sight of that. And I find a lot of companies, when I talk to their CEOs, all they talk about is, well, we've got another round of investment coming, we're going to be okay. They're
going
to be focused on sales.
That is not in the mainstream today like it was in some parts of the marketplace back in the 90s. More and more.
No.
You know, and, of course, as you know, it never was for small business. I mean, I've written a number of articles about what the dot-comers could have learned from small business owners. But one of the things that I think is going to be the downfall, I agree with you, and I think you make an excellent point about the liberal network that they're basically being driven by investment and not earnings. They haven't really been successful in the marketplace yet to that degree. But my point is that the reason that they're not going to be successful, in my opinion, if they aren't, is because they're more about what the other side isn't than they are
Good
about
point.
What's important for themselves. For example, Al Franken's show is called the O'Franken Factor, which is a takeoff of the O'Reilly Factor. He couldn't even come up with his own name.
Well, I've said that the real important thing about this whole network, and I agree with you on that, in the New Talkers magazine, in which my audience are professionals. Remember, I don't talk to consumers. I talk to pros. I said the really big story about all this from an industrial standpoint is how much publicity it's getting. And Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh should send them a check for raising their notoriety.
Maybe they're part of the investor group.
I'll tell you, if they started a thing called the O'Harrison Factor, I'd send them a check. I mean, I'd love to have a whole network start to counterbalance my power. They've made them seem more powerful than they are.
Right. No,
it's amazing, and you've hit it. You hit the nail right on the head. That's one of their biggest programming weaknesses. It'd be like a new fast food chain coming out and saying, "We're not as bad as McDonald's."
Yeah, I know. Hey, Michael, I got to end it, unfortunately, but I'm looking forward to your next visit already. Thanks for being here. It was a lot of fun.
My pleasure, Jim.
Michael Harrison, ladies and gentlemen, the publisher and the editor of Talkers Magazine and one of our good friends. 29 after, got to take a quick break. I'll be right back with our top tax man in the Brain Trust, Mr. Doug Stives, resident CPA. He will be here in just a second. And this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Really, couldn't get away too soon. I can't imagine.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.